Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, well, we have with us on the line Ed Decker. I've known Ed for many years. It's Saints Alive Ministry, isn't Ed?
Right. The Saints Alive has been around a long time.
Well, of course, Ed's been around for a long time. They've tried to poison him two or three times, but they've never quite succeeded. Ed has been speaking out against the problems inherent in Masonry for many, many years. And, of course, there has to be people who are trying to make the American people understand that there really are secret societies out there. In America today, there are 2 million Masons who belong to a secret society. Six of our last 12 presidents have either been Masons or affiliated with Masonry very, very strongly. And so there's this tremendous influence on every aspect of our lives. The Masons work within our churches. And if the minister speaks out against Masonry, why, he's going to be looking for another pulpit. Have you encountered that through the years, Ed?
Well, I have, and it's getting a little bit better these days. But back, you know, 15, 20 years ago when we were... Even the publishers didn't want to touch some of the books that I was writing and some of the articles. The magazines didn't want to touch it because, you know, I remember my dad talking to me. He was a Mason, and I was trying to get him to see the light, and he said to me at that time, Jimmy Draper was president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He said, well, if Jimmy Draper can be a Mason, so can I. And that was the end of it. At that time, some 40% of the Southern Baptist ministers were Masons, and Lord only knows how many deacons and elders and board members and Sunday school teachers were involved in Masonry in the Southern Baptist Church in particular. It's interesting that the Young Ranger program that they had going for the youth, the Young Men's Youth Program, they were taking them through initiations that were identical to Masonic initiations. And then when they get there at the door of the lodge later on in life, They're not surprised when they see their pastor inside there, nor are they surprised when they're doing things that they had to do when they were a youth in the basement of the church. I received a lot of condemnation about it. I wrote to Jimmy Draper, and I said, Jimmy, how can you be, well, I didn't call him Jimmy, I said, Dr. Draper, how can you be a Christian leader and also be a Mason when, you know, you have to bow to Jobulin, and I went through, and you're swearing oaths to have your throat slit from ear to ear when Jesus said to swear no oath at all. Anything more than a yes and no comes from the devil. And I said, how can you, it comes from the evil one. How could you, how can you be a leader in this and still swear these oaths and maintain your membership in the Masonic Lodge? And he wrote me back a personal letter and thanked me. Within 60 days, he resigned his membership in the lodge and got rid of that stuff. I went back to my dad, and he still was a hard case, but eventually he gave up the lodge and confessed the Lord and just spent the last 2 or 3 years of his life in joy.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you eventually did get through, and there's so many good Masons out there. They
Absolutely.
Really don't understand what they're into, and it's our job to try to get them to understand that all the secret rites, most of them don't understand them, but if they did understand them, why most of them would flee in terror? Because, of course, they are all told they're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. And you look in the Revelation, that's the judgment of the damned.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry, and he's been in this ministry trying to expose really what's going on in Masonry, and of course the fact that the Mormonism comes out of Masonry, and that there are many organizations in there that tie into the occult, good people in these being misled by an organized, orchestrated effort of deception, and it really is so pervasive throughout our society. Nobody wants to speak out against Masonry, why you're just negative, and yet, of course, can we really afford to have people passing our laws, sitting on our Supreme Court, who serve a different God? And I think one of the most shocking things is the realization that the Masons control the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 for a 30-year period. From 1941 to 1971, and they, the Masonic judges, are the ones who took God and prayer out of our schools. But you know what? The average individual has never heard that.
No, and when you look at the federal courts system, too, you find it heavily laden with Masons, and it's sort of a fraternal thing. I had the opportunity to lead a Shriner to the Lord who was an attorney in the Seattle area, and after that, there was a Maundy Thursday dinner and program at the Masonic Temple in Seattle, and my wife and I, he wasn't young, he was probably in his 40s at the time, but
very young.
Now that's really young to me, but he and his wife and my wife Carol and I went to that dinner, and of course I had learned the secret entry words and so forth, so I was able to get in there, and we were just real careful that I didn't, you know, get cornered in the men's room or something by some Mason asking me more questions, and in there after the dinner they showed that Jesus was a 33rd degree Mason, and that the Last Supper was the sharing of the Masonic secrets to the 12 apostles to continue it on. So it permeates the Christian life, and it wraps itself around there, so that people feel comfortable in it. But in that gathering of people were the movers and the shakers of the Seattle area, primarily judges and attorneys, made up probably 70% of the population in that place.
And of course, if you go into a court and you got a Masonic judge and you got a Masonic opponent, you're going to lose. You just don't stand a chance. Because they're sworn, they have no loyalty to the Constitution or right and wrong. Of course, their loyalty is the Lodge brother, isn't that right?
Well, we saw it here in Seattle. All probably.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry. And we're talking basically about the influence of Masonry within the courts. And Ed was saying that he'd gone to this one Masonic meeting, And these were the Masonic leaders. 70 to 80% of them were attorneys. They were judges. And, of course, as I had pointed out, you can't get a fair trial in America. If you've got a Masonic judge, you've got Masons on the jury, or if you've got a Masonic opponent, why, of course, the Mason is sworn not to worry about justice, not to worry about the oath he's sworn to uphold the Constitution, but to protect a fellow Mason. Ed was going to comment on that. You said something about that in Seattle?
A high-level Mason who owned a very large industrial construction firm in the Seattle area, and he was arrested for sexually abusing a grandchild. And everybody was watching the court case because this guy, you know, put up like $500,000 bail, and but this was pretty serious stuff, and everybody was shocked. And he went when the trial started. Again, he's a high-level Mason, and the judge presiding was a high-level Mason also. And the second day of the court, the judge came out and said, well, I did something yesterday that negated the ability to judge fairly on this, and so I'm dismissing this case entirely because I've done something wrong in my sitting as a judge. And he took a censure from the Bar Association or whoever it is that sits over judges, but the guy walked away clean and free from that, even though he was guilty of sin.
And that's how the system works. And that, ladies and gentlemen, you can't have that in a free society. That's why, of course, way back in the 1832, why there was an anti-Masonic party trying to bring this out. And really, the Masons really were pretty well restricted after that for at least a couple of decades. And then, of course, during the Civil War, why they had their resurgence is a major factor. And the occult organization, this occult organization, has always played a very important part in our government. The fact that this is never talked about, that these people sit in our Senate, United States Senate, some of the longest sitting senators in the United States Senate were there not because they were capable, but because they were Masons, and of course they have been in the presidency and the Supreme Court. You can't have a free society when you have people who belong to a secret society whose loyalty is to that secret society. Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement, and you've got to realize again that it has permeated our nation, and when some of the founding fathers of this nation who were involved with putting together what they thought would be a Masonic republic, and the Constitution, a lot of the Constitution was designed. That's why, you know, women had no vote or no say in the government, because this was a Masonic, you know, guys like Benjamin Franklin and other guys who were involved with that were literally bringing France's form of Masonic government into the United States at the time.
Brilliant, but, you know, man, certainly no friend of Christianity, although I think his latter years where he changed somewhat, but certainly his impact upon the formation of our country was profound, and he himself was deeply involved in the occult at that time.
That's right. But you know, they've always claimed that George Washington himself was a very strong Mason, but yet he had ceased to attend the regular lodge in 1768. Before his death, he renounced it. He was never a Grand Master. It was very clear that he had felt that it was a bad organization. He said combinations or associations may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely, in the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and usurp for themselves the brains of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. This is what he said. And when you take a look at what's happened even in today's world, that's what happens. They subvert the power by ambition, promoting, moving people of like ilk into positions under them to raise them up into positions of authority. And you have it in our school system, you have it in our judicial system, you have it in our government.
And no free society can exist when people who belong to secret societies are in key positions, and they actually brag about that. We actually are carrying now The Lost Keys of Freemasonry by Mandy P. Hall, although we have it in a separate section that we don't put in the catalog, but you can request it. And he brags in there about how they really are the people who control the thrones. In other words, they control the people on the thrones of the governments of the world.
I found that just not in the United States, but in South America. I was in the Philippines speaking on Freemasonry at a large gathering, big conference, and the Masons came to me afterwards and were very threatening and were going to kill me, and just by the grace of God, I got out of that one. But it was just permeated. The head of the police department in the Philippines at that time was a high-level Mason. So,
well, didn't they actually poison you one time with arsenic?
Well, that was over in Scotland. I mean, I won't go back there again until Jesus comes, I'm telling you. I was doing a TV special entitled The Occult Origins of Scottish Rite Masonry in Scotland, which was not brilliant. And I was at a pastor's lunch, and someone slipped arsenic into the drink that I had, and I spent the whole afternoon in convulsions and deathly ill, and somehow, by the grace of God, got up and did the program anyway. And by the time I got home 3 days later, I lost 25 pounds and was extremely ill for probably 8 months. Today, years later, and going into the hospital for some stuff, they're having difficulties with some areas in my body system, and discovered that I still have large amounts of arsenic throughout my system that has done a lot of damage to the capillary, like the small blood vessels in the capillaries. My forearms in particular have big blood splotches all over them from the capillaries breaking anytime I hit something or knock into something. And that's from the arsenic.
And, of course, they still kill people to this day, because, you see, they believe that they are right and that anybody who opposes them is wrong and has to be destroyed. This all came out back in the late 1820s when they killed Captain Morgan.
That's right.
And that's why, of course, the Anti-Masonic Party was formed and why there was really so much opposition to Masonry here in the United States. But it didn't simply end in the 1820s. This sort of thing goes on today to the people who try to expose the dark forces, because it's not simply Masonry. There are a number of secret societies in our society. But we've got Fritz calling us from Maine. Hi, Fritz, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Monteith, about the Masons. I think we're just waking up to this information that other people have had for years. I know the Catholic Church has written many denunciations of Freemasonry in the strongest possible terms. And they said that all the revolutionary governments in Europe, whether France, Italy, are all Masonic in origin. And I know from my own readings also the Republic of China, before the Communists got in there, was also a Masonic government. I mean, typically you have a flag which is red, white, and blue. That shows the influence of the Masons at work. And part of a freedom is to have a rationally informed choice. You have to know the alternatives when you make a decision in order to be free. So we really can't call ourselves free in society because we don't know or understand who's running it.
All right, let's get Ed's comment. How would you respond?
Well, I think he's right about that, because as you study the revolutions, the French Revolution and others, you see Masonry tied terribly into that. Even in the United States, in our what they used to call the War of Rebellion in the Civil War, almost every one of the Southern generals of the war were Masons. Guys, and then go back to the Revolutionary War, and guys like Benedict Arnold were really good Masons. And
can I say something else?
Sure, go ahead, Fritz.
All right. Of course, the American Revolution was an extension of the French Revolution.
No, the French Revolution was an extension of the American Revolution.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin was involved in it. Thomas Paine, the atheist, was also involved in
it.
And many of the symbols, the symbolism used in the French Revolution is also part of our government. Now you have the all-seeing eye of the Jacobin. That was the symbol of the Jacobin.
Thank you. 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 I'm going to take a look at the Thanks.